From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Reed McCollum reading The Vortex Blaster by Edward E. Smith, Ph.D. Now let's begin with The Vortex Blaster, Chapter 1, Catastrophe. Safety devices that do not protect. Unsinkable ships that, before the days of Bergenholm and of atomic and cosmic energy, sank into the waters of Earth. More particularly, safety devices which, while protecting against one agent of destruction, attract magnet-like another, and worse. Such as the armored cable within the walls of a wooden house. It protects the electrical conductors within it against accidental external shorts, but, inadequately grounded, it may attract, and upon occasion has attracted, the stupendous force of lightning. Then, steel armor exploding into incandescence inside walls and ceilings, that house's existence, thereafter, is to be measured in minutes. Specifically, 4 lightning rods. The lightning rods protecting the chromium, glass, and plastic home of Neil Cloud. Those rods were adequately grounded, with copper-silver cables the size of a big man's forefinger. For Neil Cloud, doctor of nucleonics, knew his lightning, and was taking no chances whatever with the safety of his wife and children. He did not know, did not even suspect, that under certain conditions of atmospheric potential and of ground magnetic stress, his perfectly designed and perfectly installed system would become a super-powerful attractor for flying vortices of atomic disintegration. So now Neil Cloud, nucleonicist, sat at his desk in a strained, dull apathy. His face was a yellowish-gray-white. His tendoned hands gripped rigidly the arms of his chair. His eyes, hard and lifeless, stared unseeingly past the small three-dimensional block portrait of all that had made life worth living. For his guardian against lightning had been a vortex magnet at the moment when some luckless wight had tried to abate the nuisance of a loose atomic vortex. That wight died, of course, they almost always did. And the vortex, instead of being destroyed, was simply broken up into a number of widely scattered new vortices. And one of those bits of furious, uncontrolled energy, resembling a handful of substance torn from the depths of a sun, darted toward and shot downward to Earth, through Neil Cloud's new house. That house did not burn. It exploded. Nothing of it, in it or near it, stood a chance. For in a few seconds the place where it had been was a crater of seething, boiling lava, a crater which filled the atmosphere with poisonous vapors, which flooded all nearby space with lethal radiations. Cosmically, the whole thing was infinitesimal. Ever since man learned how to use atomic power, the vortices of disintegration had been breaking out of control. Such accidents had been happening and would continue to happen. More than one world, perhaps, had been or would be consumed to the last gram by such loose atomic vortices. What of that? Of what real importance are a few grains of sand to a pile 5,000 miles long, 100 miles wide, and 10 miles deep? Even to that individual grain of sand called Earth, or, in modern parlance, Sol 3, or Tellus of Sol, or simply Tellus. The affair was negligible. One man had died, but in dying he had added one more page to the thick bulk of negative results already on file. That Mrs. Cloud and her children had perished was merely unfortunate. The vortex itself was not yet a real threat to Tellus. It was a new one, and thus it would be a long time before it would become other than a local menace. Nor, to any except a tiny fraction of Earth's inhabitants, was the question of loose atomic vortices a matter of concern. It was unthinkable that
Sample complete. Ready to continue?